This morning, I want to take us through probably one of the hardest topics in the Bible and the least understood. I want to talk to you this morning about the work that the Holy Spirit does. Now, if you are a big lover of theology, you'll know that we're a confessional church. You can learn more in Belgic Confession, Article 8, and Heidelberg Catechism, Answer 26 and around there. That was one of the questions that I could have been asked on my exam and to explain it more. But I want us to catch this morning, as Carmen has already mentioned, as Pastor Jack has alluded to already this morning, how God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been at work from the very beginning of creation and continues to work. And what you're going to see in the passages that we're going to look to this morning is that the Holy Spirit is our advocate, our paraclete, our comforter, the one who helps us to understand and bring to life the truth of Scripture. With that in mind, let's begin reading God's Word. And the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and sent me into the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." The prophet Ezekiel is given a vision of what is there for the people of Israel. They're at a low point in their history. They've been defeated. They've been taken captive. The leaders had been imprisoned. They had been dispersed. Where they are is they are dead. They are hopeless. They feel abandoned. Think about those words for a moment. Dead, abandoned, hopeless. We've been in those places, haven't we? Our question maybe is, where is God? Is there any hope? God's question to Ezekiel is, can these bones live? Why does God take Ezekiel into the valley of dry bones? Why is Ezekiel not allowed to stand on top of a mountain? Why would he not be able to stand on the tip of the CN Tower? On the top of Niagara Falls? And look at what's going on in the valley and to get a perspective. Can you picture how that might change your perspective? But God takes Ezekiel right down into the depths of the valley. Do you wonder why? I believe what God wants is he wants Ezekiel to not only see, but he wants him to experience. He wants him to be in that place where he senses that there is no hope. He wants him to feel that the utter despair. He wants him to get it. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? God doesn't ask a question to ask a question. He asks Ezekiel a question for a moment of faith, to encourage him on the journey. Ever wonder about the answers that Ezekiel could have given? Let me give you another example in Scripture. In John chapter 9, we have what we know as the feeding of the 5,000. Well, it's 5,000 men. Now, imagine that they were all married. You have at least 10,000. In Middle Eastern culture, you would have had more than one children. So there's at least 15,000 to 20,000 people on a hill. And Jesus says to Philip, let's feed them. Philip's response, we got 200 denarii, Jesus. 8 months worth of wages. There's no way we can feed the 15,000 people. And yet what does Jesus do? In spite of Philip's answer, Jesus feeds the 15,000. And there's leftovers. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, you know. It's the right answer. He could have said, Lord, it's possible. Give me some time. Let me pull out my 3D printer. Let me go to a skin grafting agency. Let me go to Apple and get the latest technological devices. And sooner or later, we can possibly make it happen. Can these bones live? Of course they can't. And there is Ezekiel in the midst of the valley of dry bones. Can you imagine the despair that he felt? You have a relationship that you've been in for 20, 30 years, and it comes to an end. Your body is beginning to give out. You struggle with the reality of living in poverty. Maybe you struggle with a social or a mental or a physical illness, and the reality of the despair is there, and it's there regularly. Maybe you've lost your job, and you're in the valley. It's a place of danger. It's a place of insecurity. It's a place of the unknown. And yet Ezekiel, in the midst of the valley, is asked, can these bones live? And when God asks him that question, it is a moment of hope. It is a picture of revival. It is a foretaste of the resurrection at the end of Revelation. It is a picture of the power of God and how the Spirit which breathed life into the beginning was at work in the midst of not only their story, but our story. There, 1,300 feet below sea level, God asks Ezekiel a God-moving question. Can these bones live? And the answer is yes. Nothing is impossible with God. And I will be with you in the midst of the valley. Ezekiel's passage goes on. Then he said to me, prophesy to the dry bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and flesh will come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying. Can you picture this? He's in the valley. And there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Have you ever thought about that moment? Go back to the beginning of Scripture. As God was creating the world and the Spirit hovered over the earth, God spoke, and it was. There, from the dirt of the ground, God breathed life. And the Spirit entered into Adam. And there, the Spirit who breathes life grabbed a rib out of Adam
And he created a woman as he breathed life into her. The same spirit that comforts us in our struggles, who walks with us, who encourages us, but also the same spirit who breathes life, and that we are able to understand and hear the gospel, and that we are able to understand that need to be regenerated. That's the first step of our spiritual walk, where we realize who we are and who God is. There's the same spirit who brings the faith to life that we say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. The same spirit who is alive and work, and we get radically passionate about following Jesus. That's the life we're talking about here. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet as a vast army. Catch what's happening. The Spirit of God is at work. And Ezekiel is faithful. And miraculous things happen. There is that moment of not only faith, but obedience in our story. Because there are other cases where God speaks, where his spirit is at work, and the opposite is true. Open the book of Jonah, and we hear this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. I want you to go to Nineveh and to preach. And the book goes on, and it tells us that all of Nineveh is going to be saved. But Jonah decides he's going to go off to Tarshish. In that resurrection of the dry bones coming to life, in that moment of our faith being renewed and we come to faith in Jesus, the working of the Spirit of God calls you and I to obey and to trust and to step out in faith. We were doing our devotions last night, and Craig Groeschel's got a new book out called Dangerous Prayers. And as we were doing that devotional, what it reminded me is, I wonder if maybe if our relationship with God isn't all that we wanted it to be. If we're radically stepping out in that faith where you're saying, Lord, have your way in me. As we trust and we're obedient and we engage in the life of the church, as the Spirit moves and he calls us to engage in community, are we saying, Lord, make community church the church you absolutely want it to be? Help me to get out of the way and let me step into the place where you can bring who you want to bring into community church. As that Spirit of God awakens our story, who puts bone and flesh together and joy and peace in our story, are we loving our neighbor more? Are we being more forgiving and grace-filled? Are we, as Paul writes, walking in a way worthy of the manner of the gospel? Because that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit kindles true faith. The Spirit comforts. The Spirit assures. But the Spirit also moves us to step out in faith as Ezekiel does in the valley, and to follow God. John Kersey writes, you need to catch it because something exciting is going on here. Because a little bit later, in the time of Zerubbabel, in the book of Ezra, the temple gets rebuilt. Not only does the temple get rebuilt, but by the time you get to the book of Nehemiah, the walls around the temple are being rebuilt. The priests are once again wearing their vestments. And the people are saying, the Lord is good. The Lord is God. But then a little bit later, in the time of Herod the Great, the priests are there again. And it's all about the law. It's all about the rules. That they fell into this formalism as that transformation never really took place. And Jesus says, woe. Woe to you because you love the law. And catch this. You are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without even knowing it. I love that picture. Because it reminds us of what's happening in the story. Because how many people would have walked in that valley where Ezekiel walked? And Ezekiel, by faith, says this. Come from the four winds, O breath, breathe life, and they may live. And they came to life. On the day of Pentecost, when the word was preached, 3,000 people came to faith. And they were resurrected from spiritual deadness to life by the moving of the Spirit of God. Do you catch what the text is all about? The text is about the means by which we're saved. The means by which God works to bring his story to life. The passage is about resurrection. It is a story about the moving of God. It is about how God is with you and I. And he will sustain us and he will comfort us. And that you will never be alone. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. And it filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Here you have the story of Ezekiel continued. When God speaks, his Spirit moves. And when his Spirit moves, something happens. I want you to think for a moment of the leper who came to Jesus by faith and he was healed. A man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. And what happens is he's resurrected to new life and he can walk. We heard at our classes meeting in our opening devotions, a beautiful picture of the story of John chapter, was it John 9, John 10, our opening devotion? John 9. And we're told this story where a blind man is told by Jesus that he's going to give sight. You picture, you're a blind man, and all of a sudden in the background, the devotion person went, and can you imagine hearing that in the background? And mud was formed, and it was put on your eyes, and now as a blind person, who now has mud on your eyes, you're told to get up, go to the pool. I don't know how you're going to do that. You're blind. And you're going to see. The blind man does. And by the working and the moving of the Spirit of God, sight is restored. I think it's the story of the prodigal son who does the same thing and he's welcomed back into the family of faith. The Holy Spirit's work is all about enriching and encouraging our faith. The Holy Spirit's work begins this way. By going to the valley of dry bones and bringing us into faith in Christ. Be encouraged because the Holy Spirit is at work. And not only in bringing us to faith in Christ, but holding us and sustaining us in our faith. The Holy Spirit's work for you this morning is to hear this, is be encouraged whether you are in the valley of dry bones this morning or on the mountaintop, I am there. be encouraged this morning, because the Holy Spirit's work is that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be encouraged this morning, because God's work is not done. And there in the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones, we hear these words: nothing is impossible with God. People of God, in the midst of our story this morning, hear the words that the one who called you to faith will see that work through to completion. Can the dry bones in our story live? Lord, you know. And we trust that in the midst of the unknown, you've got the bigger story. We don't understand. It doesn't always make sense. But I know that just as you spoke and you called the world into being, just as you led us to faith in Jesus, just as you gave your life and you ascended to be with the Father, we hold to the promise that you will be with us to the very end of the age. And we're going to trust. And we're going to step forward in faith and say, Lord, have your way. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are in the life-changing business. We thank you for the faithful followers of you like Ezekiel, who walk into a place and it doesn't look humanly possible, but whose trust in you is so secure. Lord, you know. And although you call me to speak, you call me to live, you call me to stand amidst all of the unknown, I will trust. And Lord, that is the hardest thing to do. But Lord, may we, through your Spirit's leading, surrender our will, our desire, our right to have what we think is the answers here and now. And that we would trust in the one who holds our eternity secure. The one who holds us by grace. That, Lord, as your church, we would be faithful to your word, and that we would, for lack of a better word, recklessly follow you in mission. That we would follow the leading of the Spirit, and that we would be faithful in reaching the lost, faithful in teaching your word, faithful in loving each other, faithful of walking and holding and sustaining each other as we do life as a community of faith. But Lord, we thank you that you love us more than we could ever imagine. And Lord, we thank you that as a church, we get to live that out together. Lord, we want to thank you for the missional opportunities we get to do in this community. We thank you for those who could engage with the coldest night of the year walk. We thank you for possible continued partnerships, Lord, with that program, Lord, and how we can be or continue to be in a new way a relevant example in this community of what it means to walk in the Spirit, to love the world, to be a place of hope and healing and inspiration. We thank you that we not only get to do that here, but we get to do that across the ocean in Tanzania with Phil and Janetta. By being the hands and the feet of Jesus, Lord, and teaching agricultural techniques and nursing care and living out the faith and being part of building a church there through the African Inland Mission. We thank you for our partnership with the church and our sponsorship with the pastor in Bolivia. But Lord, we thank you that we get to do that right here in Richmond Hill. We thank you for all of the programs that will take place this week, where we, by your Spirit's leading, come week after week to tell the story of grace. We think that we get to do that in small groups that will happen this week. And we get to do life together. We thank you for the ability to do that in moments like our worship team as they lead us this morning. But Lord, we thank you that we also get to pray for each other. Lord, we just pray that you would be with Ming, Lord, as due to this virus that's going all around the world. Lord, that you would just protect her from that, Lord, and that she has wanted to come home, but because of the virus is contained in Singapore. Lord, we just pray that you would be able to provide a way that she would not only be protected from that virus, Lord, that she would be able to come home. Lord, we pray for governments and health organizations who are working diligently, Lord, to come up with a vaccination, Lord, to not only try to stop this, Lord, but help prevent more casualties from happening. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. And so, Lord, by the leading of your Spirit, may we stand in the midst of the story of life and say, yes, there is a God. Yes, there is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who upholds, who sustains, who comforts, and who strengthens. And I will follow by his grace wherever he leads. Kindle that faith in our heart, O God, that we would be willing to go wherever you are sending us. In your name we pray. Amen.